Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well,
welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We have a great show today. We have author John Katz back with us. He was here a little over a year ago in September, and we talked with him then about his book called Soul of a Dog, and he has a new book out, which is a novel. It's fiction, and it's called Rose in a Storm. And we're going to bring him on in just a minute, but first I'd like to say hi to our program coordinator and booth engineer, Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. How are you on this gorgeous Wednesday?
Doing great on this not raining Wednesday.
Yeah, well, in the middle of December when it's not raining,
it's gorgeous.
A little bit of a sunbreak that qualifies in my book as gorgeous.
It is.
Great day to take your dog for a walk.
Indeed. Good point.
And if your cat goes on walks, and give that a try as well.
Yeah, go for it. A great day to take your dog for a walk. Let's get going with John, because I'm so excited to talk with him about his book. Now, we are going to be giving away two copies of this book later in the show, so stay tuned in and get near your phone so that you can call in and answer Dog Talk Show trivia question to win a free copy of his book, Rose in a Storm. And let me tell you, you want a copy of this book. It is excellent. I just finished it.
I bet it makes a great Christmas gift as well.
It does. I will get them out today so that if it is intended as a gift, perhaps it'll get there in time. So let's bring John on. Hi, John.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing much better than I was last time you were here.
Oh, well, you seem to be doing all right.
I don't remember if, I don't know if you remember, but you were actually the first show I did after my dog Chewy had died.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Yeah. Yes, I do.
And it was interesting because the book we were talking about was your book, Soul of a Dog, and we had had that interview set up for several weeks, and it just happened, the timing just worked out pretty well. That was a very fit topic for me, personally.
Well, thank you. I just finished a book coming out next year called Going Home, Finding Peace When Pets Die.
Ooh.
It's about grieving for animals.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be out in October, but... So I actually remember that. I remember our talk about that. You were pretty brave, all things considered.
Thank you. I think I was still in shock.
You were a little bit in shock.
Yeah. So now I've had quite a morning, John, because I read the last about 75 pages of your book. And I've been through it. Let me tell you, that this book, I think, needs to be made into a movie.
Ah, all right. That's good right by me.
I'm serious. This is a great book. I really enjoyed it, as I have all the books of yours that I've read. And I remember you talking about this book in our last interview, and that you were going to be attempting or had just started writing a book from the perspective of your dog, one of your dogs, Rose. And that and just that you had been talking about that you were going to take that on. And this was the first book that you've done in this way, correct?
Yes, absolutely. It was quite a challenge, I have to say.
Yeah. And I guess I had just assumed that it would be written in the first person, but it was, well, in the first dog, I guess, or however you would put that. But it's actually third person, correct? Written, but focused on the dog's perspective.
Yes, it was kind of inspired by my border collie, Rose, who is a working dog who has lived with me on the farm here for, I guess, what, 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she came here when she was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, Rose is a very compelling dog. You know, she's a working dog. She's not all that interested in being a pet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's very businesslike and very focused and very competent. And I was really more and more watching her, intrigued by the fact that I really didn't feel like I know what goes on inside of a dog's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's always telling you what their dogs are thinking.
Right.
And what their dogs are feeling, and I realized that, of course, we don't know that. And we tend, as humans, to project our own thoughts and our own emotions into their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to behaviorists and thinking about what was happening, and I was, you know, just fascinated by what I was finding out, which is that I knew nothing about what goes on inside of a dog's mind. So I wanted to write a novel from a dog's point of view, and, of course, being faithful to that, not having her talk or speak. And it was amazing experience. It was very challenging.
Yeah.
Because when you take our words and our thoughts out of their heads, you know, it's not necessarily the story people want. You know, I mean, I think Rose is not a Disney dog, either the real one or the fictional one.
Yeah.
But I had just a great time piecing together this idea. You know, what I was finding is that most behaviorists believe that dogs think very much like autistic children, that they think in terms of visual images,
mm-hmm.
And they react instinctively to them,
mm-hmm.
but without words or without our narratives or without the noble motives we always attribute to them.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing for people to understand, and I tell this to people all the time as I work with dog training and behavior here in Seattle, is that to understand how to communicate with a dog is that dogs are not verbal creatures like us. They have the capacity to learn many, many words, but their natural way of communication is not with words like we do. They communicate mostly with scent and body and posture and movement and energy and action and all these other things that we tend to forget about as we get so caught up in our heads and in our words.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly what I believe, and it's exactly what was reinforced by what I was finding out. And of course, as you know, I think as well as I do, that's really not what most people want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, this really isn't the, if you look at the dog books that really sell, you know, they're either a lot of words put into the dog's head or they're given a lot of cute names and they're really personified.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge here was, you know, I mean, I think Rose is a very admirable dog. And of course, I love her dearly. But I also wanted to be faithful to what a dog's like.
Especially her, because she's, like you said, she's her reward is the work that she does, and she's not terribly interested in cuddling.
Right. She doesn't want any treats. She doesn't want to be in my lap. She doesn't want to be your friend. You know,
right.
She really.
And
this is, of course, the interesting thing about Rose is, you know, I have several dogs, and people come and see them. And I like to ask people if they could have any one of my dogs, which one would they want? And no one ever says Rose. they always pick the other dogs. Because they're cuter or they're friendlier or they're... And it's interesting because she's probably the purest, quote, dog
mm-hmm.
that I've ever had. I mean, and unlike a lot of dogs, Rose gets to live the life of a dog. She really gets to make decisions. Ever since she was 6 months old, she's been working,
mm-hmm.
making decisions, and I've actually seen her evolve and seen her come to a sort of consciousness that, you know, she's very confident about making choices.
Yeah.
And she's changed. And of course, you know, when you're writing it, as you know, it's almost impossible not to anthropomorphize and not to project. But I think, you know, I think we talked about this when I was on the program last. I think it's disturbing when you see how much projection there is into dogs, that people are just profoundly misunderstanding them and seeing them more and more as childlike. I was actually listening to a program today where people were talking about how it's okay to dress your dogs up in costumes because it just means you love them. And I was just, getting a little chill going up and down my spine that, you know, we don't really want dogs to be dogs anymore. We want them to be little cute versions of us.
Yeah.
And though we assume that they must be like us because we love them. And that was, you know, I also think there's other things that I felt are going on in a novel like that, too, as I started writing it. You know, I think in a way it's a bit of a woman's story because I think a lot of the communication going on between animals and people is between animals and women. And I was always puzzled by that. You know, I was speaking at Purdue last month, and I saw that the graduating vet class is 95% female.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a complete flop from 20 years ago. And if you look at the rescue culture, the therapy culture, it's increasingly female.
Yeah.
And I think there's a great conversation going on between women and animals because I think dogs are very, very tuned in, as you said, to human emotions. And I think women tend to be more open, I'm generalizing, but they tend to be more open emotionally than men.
Sure.
So I think there's this great, rich conversation going on. I tried to get at it in the novel as well, especially through Rose and the farmer's wife, since most farmers are not interested in having this emotional conversation.
Right. And... So, now I just wanted to say it was funny and let the listeners know, we had mentioned this before the interview started, but I got an email from my aunt who lives in Massachusetts, and she sent me this email and she said, I've met this author, she was at a reading, and he's wonderful, and I think he'd be a great guest on your show. His name is John Katz, and I said, well, he's scheduled, actually, for December 15th, and I've had him on once before, and all this, but she was, you know, raving about your book and also your presence and speaking and reading from it and stuff. And
well, thank you. She's formidable, too. I mean, there was no question I was going on the show, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I was going to do it. I was certainly going to do it, but I would have not dared not to do it after talking to her.
I should hire her as my agent or something.
Absolutely. She was very clear.
Yeah. I got people working for me around the country.
That was great. That was great.
So I'm curious.
You know, talking to you, Julie, I'm just realizing what a wreck you were last time. you're different than you were.
Oh, I'm sure. So the show, the interview that I did with John, the first interview, was on September 16th, which is a dog talk show number 30, if you would like to go back and look it up either on the website or on iTunes, because we're now available as a free podcast on iTunes. So that was dog talk show number 30. It was September 16th, and it was 4 days after Chewy had died, and most of the at least regular listeners have heard me talk about him quite a bit. And so I was just not sure how the show was going to go, but, you know, mentioned it a little bit, I think. But then actually the next week I did the whole show about my experience, about losing him, because it's part of living with pets is that you know, you get them at whatever age you get them. And then oftentimes you see them through this life. And it's really been a profound experience for me. It still is, actually, over a year afterwards. He was my first dog as an adult. So anyway, John, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more. I have a lot of questions for you about your book and all that. So we will get into that when we get back from break. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, Christmas is going to the dogs. I'd rather have chew toys than your rocks. Things are
looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Banker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Banker Light Rail Station on McClellan. Visit Bido and Scratch on December 4th and 5th. They'll be hosting professional holiday pet portraits and pet food drive. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111. Or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
From their rabbit hole, take one home and set them down right next to your shoes. Wake up to a big surprise, my gift to you.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. You can check out their website, InvisibleFenceNW.com, and take a look at all of their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. We are back with author John Katz and talking about his newest book, Rose in a Storm. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
So now I want to talk to you about this book. And first of all, now I know that you have a dog, Rose.
Right.
And that this book is inspired by her. How much of it is really, or how much of the character in the book do you feel is really accurate, really based off of your perception of her in real life?
Well, I think a lot of it is I wanted to write a book where I was really projecting Rose, the real dog, in a situation where there's a blizzard and she is left alone on the farm. The mm-hmm. farmer is injured and removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, what would Rose do? We've had plenty of blizzards here. And you were talking about a gorgeous day. It's not such a gorgeous day here.
Mm.
Winter has set in. And we've been through, I never appreciated Rose more than during a blizzard, because
yeah.
she would go dig out the sheep. Sometimes we lambed during storms. And she would find the lambs and put them together with her incredibly faithful to a task. She just gets it done. And I wonder, well, what would happen if I were gone?
Yeah.
And she found herself alone in that situation, and the coyotes are coming around, and there's all kinds of dangers. What would she do?
Yeah.
And so that's where the book really takes off into fiction, of course, because I don't know what she would do.
Right.
And the more I was talking to behaviorists and watching her and thinking about her, I kind of imagined this the point to which, I believe she would be very faithful to her work for as long as she could.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I didn't want to do a Disney story. I wanted it to be true to what a dog might conceivably do. I maybe pushed the boundaries of that in a couple of places, but I mean, these are all things, and I would run each of these scenarios by behaviorists and say, could a dog do this? Could a dog do this? And the picture of a dog's mind, which is actually so much more interesting than I had even thought,
mm-hmm.
imagining a world, as you were describing very much yourself, of all kinds of smells and sounds and sights pouring into her consciousness that we generally don't see or smell or hear.
Mm-hmm.
So she's aware of so many more things than I am,
mm-hmm.
and so many more things are going into her decision-making that I don't know about. And I think of it as a million stories kind of pouring into her head.
Yeah.
And she's processing them almost like a video game, and reacting to them.
I liked what you talked about throughout the book, especially as it got more intense and survival became more of an issue, about how tuned in she was to everybody's heartbeats.
Right, right. Because with things that we never would hear.
Right.
And I see that, I see that with her and the sheep, where she would clearly know when a ewe is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously by hearing the heartbeat of the lamb,
mm.
she would just react very differently to it. She would stop herding them
mm.
and kind of even move around them almost like they weren't there. And then when lambs were born, I couldn't see them sometimes or hear them, and she would just tense up and go to them and instinctively keep them with the ewes so that, they bond that way.
Mm-hmm.
And during storms and things, this was invaluable. She also had some situations, not quite as intense as the book, but I remember one night she just took her rough one up, and I was out doing some chore, and she really stiffened. And I had a big light with me, and I pointed up to the pasture, and I saw there were two or three coyotes at the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of moving down towards the sheep. And, of course, I wasn't quite sure what they were or what to do, and I saw her move up the hill and get between them and the sheep and stand there. It was a very powerful thing for me because I was concerned for her, and I saw the coyotes were not running away.
Yeah.
And the sheep kind of ran to me, and she just stood there, and there was something, I don't know, very, I guess, pr- primal about it. It was almost as if she were digging back to some other place, and she was clearly not going to move. She wasn't charging the coyotes like another dog might do. She wasn't running after them. But she wasn't moving either, and it was sort of like she was making a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And they just quietly turned away and left. And you know, again, I'm thinking, well, you know, you could write that story a lot of different ways. If I wanted to make a lot of money, I would say, well, Rose was trying to save me or trying to, you know, but as you know, she was calling on some very instinctive part of herself. She was just protecting the sheep. And she was clearly prepared to sacrifice herself. She wasn't running off. And if they'd come down the hill, she couldn't possibly have handled them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was thought, well, God, you know, would she run at some point? Would she fight? Would she? What would she do? I don't really know that. But I think that I could see this, you know, this kind of response coming from some other place that I did not understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it does. It's not something that needs to be romanticized. It might,
well, or even known.
Might be for some people, like you've talked about, you know, appealing to maybe more people. But coming from somebody who, you know, myself, where I work with dogs professionally, I have for many years, I feel like I have a very deep understanding of them. I felt like it was, I really liked that you were really trying to be true to the dog and not writing to what people may want to hear or what might feel good or whatever, but really staying true to the dog and honoring them as animals in that way.
Well, I appreciate that. And of course, you know, some people were not happy with that. You know, people felt like, you know, that some of the critics thought that she was cold, that she was just not, she wasn't quite the dog they were, you know, I think they were hoping for. And a lot of people, of course, loved the book, but it was interesting, the reactions, people were a little bit uncomfortable with her in some cases. I found that people who really knew dogs really liked her character, and people who didn't know them as well were a little bit uncomfortable with her, I don't know what the word is exactly, her lack of emotion, I guess, would be. And also her ability, as you remember from in the book, in certain cases where there were things she just couldn't do, she just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, some, you know, there's death in the life of a dog, and they don't react to it the way we do.
Right. Well, and for I'd say the general population, at least in this country, why we have dogs is for emotional reasons. But Rose's purpose with her in her real life and also in her character in the book is to do her job. And there is certainly a bond between her and Sam, who's the farmer. But it's not centered around the emotional connection. It's around the connection through working together, which is, I can see how most people may not be comfortable with that, because what are dogs if they are not meeting our emotional needs?
Well, I think that's a great point. And one of the issues that's become more important to me, and I suspect to you as well, I'm guessing, is that this, you know, we're kind of exploiting dogs in many ways by taking what we need from them, but not necessarily understanding what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use the life of a dog to make yourself feel better or to create something you need in your own emotional life, that's fine, but it's not often coming from the dog's needs, coming from your needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I was very, very shocked to discover that there are 300,000 dogs in America now on medication for separation anxiety.
Mm.
And you know, this is a very new thing. Your dogs managed to make it for 19,000 years without Prozac.
Right.
And now we're medicating them like crazy. And I think this is one of the things that comes from this projection of our emotional problems onto them. You know, we're dumping our stuff onto them.
Yeah.
We're making them nuts. And then because they're nuts, we're treating them in a very human way rather than training them or understanding them. And, you know, Rose is a dog. It would be so easy to make her crazy. You know, she's very high-strung and very straightforward. And if I didn't deal with her very carefully and knowing her, she could easily get to be a neurotic dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's very important, I think, to... one reason I wrote the novel is it's very important, I think, to try to present the true nature of a dog. And, you know, this is the way they are. This is not the way... They don't act out of heroic motive. You know, they act out of wonderful instinct, which is just as good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just think it's important to kind of explore that. And I knew that, you know, that this was not necessarily the dog a lot of people want, but it is the dog a lot of people, you know, want. in a way. And I think that, you know, I think she's a very, very admirable character to me.
Yeah.
Because I think the fact that she's acting out of instinct doesn't detract anything from me. She does the work. You know, she's incredibly brave. She's very faithful. And she's extremely competent. We had this incident, you know, that was riding around the ATV on the farm, and we came across a fawn trapped in a pasture gate. She'd gotten stuck there overnight. And she had obviously been struggling. She was bleeding, and it was in a panic, and I could not get near her. She would just lash out at me with her hooves. And Rose was with me, and this was sort of what I call the ballet, you know. We just started figuring it out. And I would get near her, and she would kick at me, and I would get back. And then I saw Rose put it together. She started going around the far side of the fawn. She would bark a bit and distract her.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the fawn would turn to me, Rose would move a little closer, bark, and step back. So after 15 or 20 minutes, I saw that Rose had completely turned the fawn's attention away from me. And she was just almost locked eyes with her, and they were staring at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in and unlatched the gate and could free her.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a wordless sort of work. I don't have any commands for that.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But she was taking her instincts and her experience. She was reading me. She was kind of looking at what I was trying to do. And she was just instinctively kind of, you know, drawing attention of this animal away from me so I could do whatever it was I was trying to do.
There's a similar scene in the book, correct?
Yeah. I put that scene in the book.
Yeah.
I mean, a little different, but the same idea.
Yeah.
And that was a case where I was calling behaviors and saying, okay, what's going on here? And, you know, you could say, well, Rose is just a hero. You know, she wanted to save the deer. But the truth is she was harking back on thousands of years of breeding, this great instincts for working with people. And what I think is also a very important thing, that dogs, given a chance to make decisions and do things, become more intelligent.
Right.
And in America, very few dogs get to do anything. You know, they just don't have any decisions to make, and they're on leashes all the time. You know, I'm doing a short story collection coming out in a year or two, and I have this short story called Luther and Minnie Go to Heaven,
mm-hmm.
in which a woman who always wanted to meet her dog in heaven, she dies, and she goes to heaven, and she says to the dog angel, I want to go see my dog. And the angel takes her to dog heaven, and she's shocked to see that it's broken into five different parts. It's one part where they're having sex, one part where they're rolling in disgusting stuff, one part where they're tearing up gardens and eating the bulbs, one part where they're chewing up sofas and peeing on furniture. And she's shocked. She says, I wouldn't let my dog do anything of these things. And the angel says, well, that's why they call it dog heaven.
Right, it's dog heaven.
And she says, well, is there a dog hell? And she says, yes, there is. It's a place where they're neutered right away, and they're spayed, mm-hmm. and they're always on leashes, and they have to eat dry kibble.
Yeah.
And they never get to do what they want. So I think the idea of dogs are living our lives, but they don't get to live their lives.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with John Katz, author of Rose in a Storm. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Everything's right. The woman is screaming at Pepe, and Pepe sounds very uptight.
Pepe, hush. Don't make so much noise.
Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? ColorMasters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit colormastersnw.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at colormastersnw.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's an early shelter rescue sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds at Mollywood, the horses at Equine Rescue, the wildlife at Sarvey's, and everything else at Posado's. Find out who needs some help this holiday season and where your end-of-the-year donations will do the most good. On Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We're back with John Katz, author of his new book, Rose in a Storm. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
Now, John has supplied us with a couple of free copies of this book, and you're going to have to earn this one. So we're going to do some Dog Talk Show trivia, Eric's favorite, and give away a couple copies to the first two callers who can give us correct answers. So I'm going to give out the number first before I ask the trivia question, and then I'll give it out again. Number is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. I think I've asked this one before, but that's okay.
Sound effects are all queued up
all
and
right.
ready to go.
Good to know. Okay, trivia question. And we're going to take the first two callers, so there's more than one answer for this. Other than a border collie, which is Rose's character in the book, name another herding breed. Other than a border collie, name another herding breed. 425-373-5527. A correct answer will get you a free copy of this wonderful book, Rose in a Storm, by author John Katz. And John, you have a website, which is www.bedlamfarm.com.
Right.
BedlamFarm.com. And you're also on Facebook. You have a Facebook page, and that's JONKATZ. And I was really enjoying looking at all of your photos on your Facebook page, which is great, especially after just coming off of this book.
Well, thank you. Rose, another thing Rose kind of led me to do, start taking pictures.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we've got here. We're giving away a couple copies of John's book, Rose in a Storm, if you can call in and give us the name of a herding breed. And we have Susan on line one, who I think will have a correct answer. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
So can you name a herding breed, Susan?
Yes. The Australian cattle dog.
That's a good one. One of my favorites.
I know.
Now, so Susan, we're going to get you out a free copy of John's book. Are you familiar with John's work?
Oh, yes, I am. I've read everything that's published so far.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Well, that's great. We're going to get you out a free copy of this book. I just finished it this morning, and it's wonderful, as
how,
I'm sure is not
exciting.
A surprise. Yeah. So I'm going to put you on hold and bring you back to Deb, who's going to get your mailing address, and then we'll send this book out to you.
Thanks, Susan.
All right. Line two, we have Pat in Kirkland, who's going to give us another herding breed other than Australian cattle dog or border collie. Hi, Pat.
Yeah, hi. How about an old English sheepdog?
Oh, I'll take that. Good one. So, Pat, do you have dogs?
Right now I just have two cats.
Okay.
I have had dogs. My last one was a West Island White Terrier about 10 years ago.
Cute. Very
yeah,
cute.
That's great.
Well, Pat, we're going to put you on hold and send you back to Deb, get your mailing information, and we'll get you out a copy of this wonderful book. It'll go out this afternoon, so hopefully we'll get to you in time for the holidays.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Enjoy it.
All right, two people jumped on that one. I don't blame them.
That's great.
Yep.
I'm just sad I didn't get to play the wrong sound effect.
I know. They're too smart. Listeners are too smart.
I'm just going to have to get some dumb people to call in next time so I can play it.
We'll save that for the next edition of Eric's Dog Talk Show Trivia, just
for
you.
Fantastic.
Eric had the opportunity to win treats for his cats.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really liked in your book, throughout the book, is you're talking about Rose's map. And I really liked that as a way to describe her brain, kind of, and sort of her view of the farm and how she keeps track of all the animals and the responsibilities. You referred to it as her map.
Yeah, it's interesting. I realized that Rose has a map, a sense in her head of how things ought to go on the farm. I don't have that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not blessed with that. If I were to drop a cell phone or keys or something out in the field, which happens frequently,
mm-hmm.
I would just let Rose out, and she goes immediately to them because they weren't there before.
Mm.
So anything that wasn't there when she was last there, she spots right away.
Yeah.
And I realized in the course of this that she sort of has a picture in her head. I call it a map. I saw this, a good example of this. I was in the barn, was lying on the ground trying to put some cables together, and as usual, I was oblivious to what was going on around me. And the sheep were split. Some of the sheep were in the upper pasture, some were out on the, behind me. And I had put some food out for the one group, and the other, I didn't realize it, was kind of running, almost stampeding towards me to get through to the food. And I was just busy, you know, doing something else. And Rose was way up in the hill with the first group. And she saw this group running towards me, which I didn't see. And she came rocketing down the hill. The first I was aware of this was she came leaping over my head and landed on the other side of me and stopped the sheep who were running towards me. And I was just startled. And again, I thought about this and talked to behaviorists about it. And thinking, well, what's going on? You know, I mean, again, the story that would be nice to write was she was just trying to save me. And that may be true, but it's more complicated than that. You know, I think in her mind, a border collie's mind, there's something wrong with the scene. The sheep are running, which made her nervous. She couldn't see me, which probably made her nervous. The sheep weren't together, which made her nervous. So she just reacted very quickly and came down to find me and then stopped them. Stop the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And as to whether she was protecting me or not, it's quite possible that instinctively she would be protecting the person she's working with. I know you're working with your cattle dog, so you know how important it is to them to work with people they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful relationship. So she could certainly have been aware of that and just tried to protect me instinctively rather than consciously. And also just to bring order to the scene, to get all the sheep together, to stop the running, to take control of it. Mm-hmm. So any number of things would have been off in terms of this map by that scene. And so she would have moved very quickly. The part that I think is interesting, and this is the gray zone, you were talking about the mystery before,
mm-hmm.
Is, you know, she ran very, very quickly and leapt over me. So she was clearly trying to stop them from getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I think, you know, is a little bit exciting and gray. And that exactly what was going on there. And I have to say, you know, the dog has saved my life a couple of times. You know, once I've fallen down several times on the ice in the winter. One time it was just sub-zero weather, and I was knocked myself out.
Mm.
My back of my head hit a stone wall, and I was lying in this, you know, 10, 20 below zero wind. And she came over to me and just started biting my ear.
Mm.
And yipping, and which she never does anything like that, until I got up. And you could see she was unquestionably trying to get me up. It was really wrong for her to see me lying like that.
Mm-hmm.
And very agitated, and have a border collie biting your ear, you're going to get up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, I think I might not have made it had she not done that. And one day we're out in the woods, and this bunch of wild pigs came flying over the hill. And she just, you know, and they're nasty. I didn't realize how tough pigs are.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had teeth. I didn't know that. And she just threw herself in front of them and made this ferocious racket until I could get organized and just get out of there. You know, and that's such an amazing relationship between the working dog, which I think almost all dogs are in one way or another. I mean, dogs, I think, are meant to work.
Yeah.
All kinds of different. Doesn't have to be sheep. So I think that, you know, these qualities, you know, being up here and seeing her, working with her like that, I think the most striking thing to me is just seeing her evolve. And, you know, this is a creature who has sort of, what I would say, come to consciousness a bit. And that her pride, her confidence, her decision-making has just changed so dramatically, you know, that she's really become something of a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the trust that we have, and the you know, just as with the deer, you know, the confidence I have in working with her is a very striking thing.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I mean, I had this editor, you know, editors aren't supposed to edit anymore, but my editor didn't get the memo on that. And so she's very much like Rose, I like to say. You know, she's a very focused, workaholic, tough person.
Mm-hmm.
And she really got the character because in some ways she is that character. And so that was a great collaboration, too. She really identified with the character and really helped me stay on track in terms of, you know, so easy to step over the line there.
Yeah.
The other part of it, too, which I'm sure you noticed, I got a little bit inventive and mystical towards the end.
Yes.
Because I realized that dogs like that, you know, where do they get that strength? Where does it come from? And you have to go back in history to see that all of these dogs, especially the working dogs, you know, they come from wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in them, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a cattle dog or a border collie, you know, there's just the wolf comes up there when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how does a small dog, you know, Rose is 30 pounds, how does a dog get, you know, 5,000 pounds of sheep to move?
Yeah.
You know, with this great, any one of them could run right over.
Yeah.
And they never do. It's just like, you know, this has this great possession and authority that I think comes from a very ancient place.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite scenes is when she goes out into the woods and watches the coyotes. And I liked writing that because I've always imagined that a dog like Rose would have a very playful side somewhere in her and would just love to be running around out there, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break, John. We'll be back in just a few minutes with author John Katz. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-4000. fence and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m., right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are back with author John Katz and talking about his newest book, Rose in a Storm. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
So, this, I so highly recommend this book. It is so good, and I love how you write, John. You're really a very gifted writer.
Thank you.
And this, I know, was a new challenge for you writing in coming from the dog's perspective. And I just thought you did a great job, and I really liked that you tried to stay true to Rose.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
I think it's the least I can do for her.
Yeah, really. And I said this, I don't know if this was on air or not, but I would watch this if it was a movie, because I had quite a morning this morning reading the last 100 or so pages of the book. It brought tears to my eyes, and you did throw in some interesting things at the end. Very powerful. Darcy's my partner, we went to Wolf Haven, which is a wolf sanctuary, and we're actually interviewing the woman who's in charge of all the animal care there next week. And Wolf Haven is a wolf sanctuary, as I said, here in Washington State. And all of the wolves, while we were there, shortly after we got there, just all of a sudden started all howling.
Wow.
And it was really... You know, we got full body chills and got teary eyed and all that. But so there was a part in your book where there's a wolf howl, and I just could hear that. I actually have a video of it that I'm going to be putting up on the website and on YouTube of that. I was able to catch a video of while the dogs catch some of that audio anyway. It's really something else.
Well, yeah, that sounds great.
And then there were two coyotes there as well that had just sort of gotten there. And so they were yipping, you know, chiming in. One thing that I remember about you from our last interview was your thoughts about goats, and it was funny to see that come through here and there in your book.
Well, you know, I think people who love animals have to be careful. I got probably had too many animals here. you know, when I have a 100-acre farm and I have several barns, so I thought, well, okay, I had a couple of cows, I had a steer, I had some goats, and it got to be too much. You know, it was to me, it was getting close to a petting zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I really didn't get to know them. I have to say, I didn't like the goats, really. I mean, they're very smart, they're very interesting, but one of the rule of farmers is, you know, don't have animals that are smarter than you. And they just were just honestly too bright for me. They could get out of anything. You couldn't be contained. They couldn't be trained. They could, you know, you have to really have a special disposition, I think, to handle them.
Yeah.
And I was distracting. I think, actually it was hilarious watching Rose decided to try to herd them. And they did not want to be herded. So we had these quite hilarious battles back and forth where she would try to move them and they wouldn't move and they tried to butt her and she didn't like that. And she eventually got them to move. She wouldn't say she herded them, but she definitely got them where she wanted them by just basically outlasting them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were interesting. I mean, I just think they weren't for me. You know, they just were too loud and too smart and too much of a pest.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesson for me, too, was I don't want to have more animals than I know. You know, I think I want to get to know them. So I have the 4 dogs, 2 donkeys, and in the summer, some sheep. And in the winter, the sheep go back to Vermont. And the farmer and I, you know, he saves his grass, and they come and take my grass in the summer. So it's a nice way to do it.
Yeah. There was a part where you're describing Rose's return to the farm at some point, and it said the goats began jeering and complaining and calling out to her, making little sense. They seemed to feel that Rose had authority on the farm, so they made demands on her. They wanted more food, as usual. She ignored them, as usual.
That was about it.
Yeah. So, I think the picture that I saw was a little old, because it sounds like you're now remarried.
I mean, got remarried this summer. I'm a newlywed,
mm-hmm.
Which is exciting. And, you know, several years ago, you and I were talking about Joseph Campbell earlier, and I'm a big fan of sort of the idea of the hero's journey, where the hero is not a hero, but a kind of frightened and foolish person,
mm-hmm.
who, but at the same time, sets out to find themselves. You know, you went to Seattle, I came to the farm, and you know, I kind of fell off a cliff a bit, ended up getting divorced, which was very painful and very surprising to me,
mm-hmm.
And then met what Joseph Campbell would call magical helpers, often take the form of animals. You know, and I like this idea more and more of the idea of dogs as spirit guides who take us places if we let them.
Mm-hmm.
They just lead us to different experiences. You know, you're doing sheep herding, you're doing therapy work, they just bring you into different experience,
mm-hmm.
if you're open to it.
I think dogs were buried, you know, way, way back thousands of years ago. They used to be, people would be buried with dogs because they were viewed as sort of spiritual guardians or guides.
I think the Egyptians did that.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, I guess I would have laughed at that idea 5 or 6, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was a little loopy.
Yeah.
But yet it's happened to me more than once. I mean, I have a dog here, Frida, you were asking about.
Yes.
Rescue dog, a Rottweiler Shepherd mix, who led me to my wife.
Uh-huh.
You know, because she, this was a dog that didn't like men and didn't like me. And in order to get to Maria, I had to get through the dog.
Yeah.
And it was clear she wasn't coming without the dog.
Right.
So I had to work it out. And we really rewarded me. We became very close, and then Maria followed. So, I mean, I think she really led me to a great experience of love, which is an amazing, and I want to write about it.
Yeah, you passed the test.
I passed the test.
Yeah.
But also, I've gotten more open to the idea. You know, Rose sort of helped me be on the farm. I have a lab who's kind of a little love machine,
yeah.
when I needed that. I think we get the dogs we need, you know, and I think that's kind of the drama of them. I think we end up with the dogs we need to get.
Yeah.
And if we're open to it and we let it happen, it can take us places. And I think I'm always amazed when it happens, and yet it happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, John, I could sit here all afternoon and talk with you, but we're coming up on the end of the show already. So,
well, this is great. You know, in a way, I feel like I'm really meeting you, because I see when last time you were a little bit in shock.
Yeah, I was. I really was. Great. And it was really wonderful to have you here, actually, for that special show, because it was
so close.
Well,
I'm probably coming back next year on the grieving book. So.
Excellent.
Maybe we'll meet up again.
Absolutely. If my aunt has anything to do with it, we will be.
Yes.
Well, John's book is called Rose in a Storm. His website is bedlamfarm.com. I'll post all that information on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. You can also listen to John's first interview on the Dog Talk Show, which was Dog Talk Show number 30. You can scroll down on the website on the podcast page to that one. It was September 16th of 09. You can also find it on iTunes as a free podcast. John, happy holidays, and I look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good luck herding, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be here same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.